We'd love to be able to pray for you and your family and whatever you have going on. We're going to do that right now. I'm going to just say a word of prayer, and then we're going to continue worshiping. Father, thank you for this morning, this opportunity to be here together with family and friends. Thank you for this day, this time of year where we reflect on, remember, and celebrate the Messiah who has come for us. Thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. May today be a day that is for you and that we sing loud and with smiles on our faces because we know who you are and what you've done for us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we do come before you this morning and we do adore you, Father. Thank you for taking on flesh, for moving into our neighborhood, for walking our earth, for being acquainted with grief. Every single one of us in this room is acquainted with grief, for being tempted as we were, but without sin. Thank you for taking the penalty that we deserved. We thank you for your first coming, and we look forward to your second coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Morning. This is our last Sunday of Advent, and if you didn't know that already, and our theme for this week is love, and so Liam's going to be doing our scripture reading.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14.
Please pray with me. Eternal Father, out of our flowing abundance of love and in the fullness of time, you gave the incarnate Son to be the sign and the ransom for our salvation. Plant in every heart, we pray, the love of him who is Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one whose name we pray, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
Merry Christmas Eve! Merry Christmas. All right. Guys and children, you all look great today. Should let your wives dress you more often. I let my wife, last night she said, now do you have anything good and Christmassy to wear? So, you know, I knew what that meant. I had to look a little nicer today. It's a great day to worship together. I love when Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. It's a great day to just have a reset before the big day. If you're a little bit like me, I don't really call it, maybe it's not guilt, but it's just a little bit of the pull of the Holy Spirit all throughout the Christmas season to say, hey, there's a lot going on and a lot of really good stuff, but let's make sure that it all points to Jesus. And it's easy to lose track of that. So I love this day where we get to sort of get our mind right and get our posture right and really prepare for Christmas. So I'm excited about it. It's a great day. It's a great day to all be in here together. It's a great day to all worship together so long as your children are over about 5 years old. And then it's really fun. If not, it's a challenging day. But don't worry, I won't go too long. My kids are in the corner over there. And so they'll lose it if I go more than about 12 minutes, so I'm going to try to keep it short. I'm excited to preach on a day when all the kids are in here because I don't have to work very hard to be simple. It just comes very naturally to me. Like the pool at your kids' daycare, I'm not that deep, right? So this is really simple for me, and so I'm enjoying it. So in a short message, on a Sunday with a short message where we celebrate the birth of a baby to a simple woman and a carpenter's wife, we aim to also keep this really simple today. And it's our collective prayer. I think all of us together, it's our collective prayer as we focus on this unreal reality of a king who left his throne to sacrifice his life for you and I think on this day, it's important that we walk away worshiping and we walk away saying, wow, God, look what you did for me. And you are just beyond measure. That's what I hope for us this morning. So I'm going to pray for us and I'm going to ask God to just get our posture right. Because sometimes I forget that when I come in here, I'm coming in to address a king. And a king who has something to say to me, specifically to me, and something to say to you, specifically for you this morning. And for me, I want to hear it. And so I want to remember that this morning. So I want to ask God to bring us all to a place of bended knee with ears to hear. So let's pray. God, I am beyond grateful for the gift of new life through you. And as we celebrate Christmas today, I am thankful you came to live, to be born, to live and to die so that we might have new life. And may today, may that be the focus of this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, Matthew gives us his account of Jesus' birth. He reminds us of this ancient name of Jesus, this name that was given to him prophetically. And here's his version of the story. Here's Matthew's version of Jesus' birth. So quick pause. If you're normally in kids, I'm going to read the passage, and then I'm going to ask one of you, so it could be any of you, so you better listen, all right? And the more I know you, the more likely you are to be called on, all right? So be ready. But I'll ask you what the name is. It's in the passage, and then I'll ask you what the name means. So you better be listening, because you'd be real embarrassed if I call on you and you don't know, okay? So plug in, listen up. There's going to be a name that's given to Jesus, and then tell us what the name means. So let's jump in and let's read it. Before we read it, I'll say that if there are any questions about verse 18, those questions are for your parents, all right? So just jumping in and get that. You read the screen, you'll see where we're going, all right? Here we go. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So there it was. Can I get a young person to volunteer to tell us what was his name? Get close enough to stand in my mic. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. What was his name? Oh, so close. What was his name? Great guess. Yeah! Nice! All right, we won't go through all that again. What did that name mean? All the young people together, tell me. God with us. Nice. Great job. Emmanuel, God with us. Before we get into all that Emmanuel, God is with us, means, let me say this. You know, God just knows what he's doing. I mean, you know, that's not a crazy concept, but God knows what he's doing. He doesn't always send angels to give us messages, but when the story is too crazy to be believed, unless an angel tells you, he's pretty good to send the angel to tell you. And I think if you're a guy in here and your fiance comes to you with a story like this, no, this is one you got to hear from the angel. Otherwise, Joseph would probably be like us and say, "Well, Mary, I was going to do this quietly because I'm an honorable guy, but now after that story, we're going to stone you." Right? Just kidding. But, you know, that's a crazy story. And he didn't just need to hear it. We need to hear it from the angel. What if the story was Mary convinced everyone, including Joseph, that the baby was born of the Holy Spirit? I bet we wouldn't see Mary statues in everybody's yard. So the angel comes. We needed the angel for this. We needed the angel to tell us who this baby was. So the angel appears and said, "This baby, he'll be called," what will his name be?
Emmanuel.
You guys are just big kids, little kids. I love it. Everybody pitching in. Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this name, if you're a good Jew, you know this name. You know the story that about 800 years ago, some Assyrians came and they took over Israel. And then all happens in Isaiah chapter 8. The whole thing of them coming, the Assyrians coming to take over, the whole thing is prophesied. And what it says is that the Assyrians will take over Emmanuel's land. And what it's doing is it's calling God's people, it's calling them Emmanuel. It's meaning these are the people of God. And it's giving them the name Emmanuel, the people whom God is with. And so what it says is, lest these Assyrians think they did something really incredible by taking over the people whom God is with, these people should be shaking in their boots. It literally says, these people should be broken into pieces. Because they don't know that very soon, the people of Israel and the people of Judah, the people whom God is with, God will soon break them. That is the power of God. And so when they call this baby, when he reminds everyone, when Matthew reminds everyone that this baby is Emmanuel, what he's reminding them of is all the power of God that you remember from long ago. All the things that you remember. The God who created the world with the sound of His voice. The God who opened a sea so that people could walk through. The God who sent plagues so that brought the most powerful nation on earth to its knees. The God that made that huge, famous, sturdy wall, the block walls of Jericho. The God that made them come down and crumble with just a shout. The God who did all that great and powerful God, all of that power is in this baby. And that's what he's reminding them, is this baby holds that kind of power. And with all that power, what would Jesus do? If you're old, you remember Hercules, right? That's if you remember it, you're old, okay? Don't question yourself. What would the son of a god do? He would come and be ultra strong and he would do incredible feats of bravery. If you're just now starting to get old, you'll talk about Thor. He's old too now, right? You're getting old if that's the one you remember. But what would he do, the son of a god? What kind of thing do we have in vision when we think of that? We think of an incredible power. But John chapter 1 tells us what Jesus would do with all that power. And what John 1 tells us is that what he'll do with all of his power is he will extend grace to every one of us. That's what he's going to do with his power. He's going to extend grace to all of us. More specifically, he'll take our place in death. He'll take the punishment for our sins, and to all that receive Him and believe in His name, He will graciously give them and us the right to become the children of God. That's what He's going to do with this power. You know, Larry said it last week, but it bears repeating. Can you imagine standing before, just imagine the most powerful king on earth, whoever comes to your mind, the most powerful king of all time, and you're standing in front of him. And let me ask you this. Let me get some young person to tell me, who has a little dog? Raise your hand if you have a small dog. Not a big one, but a small one. Who's got a small dog? If a big dog ever comes towards your small dog, what does your small dog do? What do they do?
Gallop.
Gallop, all right. That's one thing. What might they do? Bark. Give me something else here. They fight, they run away. They would be scared. So here's what my little dog would do. I used to have a really little dog. He was not good for much, right? But he was as cute as he could be. But if a big dog would come after him, he would just kind of roll over. He would roll over. And it was his way of saying, you're in charge. I surrender. Don't eat me. You are absolutely in charge. That's what people would have to do. They wouldn't roll over, but it would be, they would have to come in before a king and do something like that. They would come in. If you were coming in before a king, you would have to come in and you would have to kneel down. And you used to lay down in front of the king. And it was like a way of saying, I am totally at your mercy, king. And the king could do with them whatever he wanted. If he wanted, he could just have them killed. The worst of all things, but he could do it because he was king. And imagine you walk in front of this king, and you're there, and the king is there, and the royal guard is there, and it's just you, and you're by yourself, and you're unarmed, and you got guards everywhere, and they got swords, and you got the king in front of you, and he's on a throne, and you're down here, and you kneel down in front of this king, in front of all these people, and you say something like, "I hate you. King, I hate you. And I want nothing to do with you. And if I were ever given the chance, I would just take you out. That's what I would do." What do you think the king's response would be? What would the king say back? What if the king said, "There's something between us. There's something between us, and I am going to make it right. And instead of killing you, I'll give my son to die for you, so that you might have a relationship with me." What kind of king would do that? Just shows us this incredible, merciful God. And I think it's the thing that leads us to worship. We say, look what he did for us. It is beyond measure what God has done for us. So I have two great hopes for you this Christmas. Two hopes for you this Christmas. That tomorrow morning, whether you are by yourself or whether you're with a whole bunch of people, some of which you want to be with and some of which just come with the package, whoever you're with tomorrow morning, you don't point at anybody if you're in here, just keep it to yourself. But wherever you are tomorrow, whether you're singing or praying or just talking, I imagine Evan's family all sings. Don't you guys? Evan's on the guitar and he's strumming and the whole family's singing. That's how I picture Christmas carol. No matter where you are and no matter what you're doing, what I am hopeful is that you are worshiping. Is that you remember to take some time to say, why do we do this at all? You know, why do we celebrate this holiday? And so that you take some time to remember this incredible thing that God did for you. And you take some time to worship. So that's one of my hopes for you this Christmas. My second hope for you is that this Christmas maybe just begins a springboard of you sharing the good news about this incredibly powerful baby with someone else. This incredibly powerful baby that goes on to sacrifice his life so that we might have new life. My prayer is that you begin to share the good news. For everyone in here that's an adult, and for everyone in here that's a young kid, this sounds kind of crazy sometimes, especially when you look around the room and you see a lot of people that decided on Christmas Eve to come to church. It sounds crazy. But the Bible assures us that there are more people around us that don't love Jesus than do. And there are way more people around us that don't follow him that do. And you can let them know Jesus offers them much, much more than a few days off of work or school at the end of the year and a floating holiday at Easter. Jesus offers them so much more than that. He offers new life. And that can be a tough one. I get that the whole conversation about, tell me again why he had to die. I'm not connecting the dots between why I get to go to heaven because the baby died for me. There are a lot of pieces in there. And you just dive into the conversation and you pray faithfully and the Holy Spirit leads you where you should go. And my prayer is that you begin to share the good news. This Christmas that you worship and that you share the good news. Let me pray for you. God, I am incredibly grateful to worship with a room full of people who are excited to sing your praises. And I pray that as we finish up here, that that's what we do. That we're just saying, God, I can't believe what the God of the universe has done for me. And not just our praises ring loud to you as we realize that, as we think on that. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much for being here today. We made it to Christmas Eve, and hopefully all your gifts are prepared and food is ready, because there's not much hope out there right now, I don't think. So, but thank you for including Bridge Church in your family's holiday season here on Christmas Eve, on this rainy Christmas Eve. And thank you for being here so much with us. And this will be our last gathering of this year. It's our kind of tradition to take off the Sunday between Christmas and New Year. So our next gathering will be here at the YMCA on January 7th. We'll kick off 2024 with kind of a Vision Sunday and talk about plans to do no-frills, simple church in the new year. And we'll be talking about our gatherings and groups for the year, equipping and training opportunities as we seek to be disciples who make disciples, and missions and ministry as we seek to be on mission for God in our world. So you can join us back here, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, for worship here at the YMCA. And it's been a great year in 2023, and we've had some great studies and message series and great service opportunities. We're looking forward to next year and all that we can do for the Lord. So thank you so much again for being here. I'm going to pray and we'll close with one last song of worship. There's more pastries, hot chocolate, coffee, and feel free to hang around afterward. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that this season brings to us, the reminder that you came to reside with us, to live with us, to be in our hearts, to take on our sin, to conquer death. And Lord, we just thank you for sending Jesus, and we worship and adore that gift to us this Christmas. And Lord, we just pray that as we celebrate together with family and friends over the next few days, that you would let us have a sense of your peace, and what it means to be a part of family and your family. And Lord, just open our hearts and our eyes to your desire and your purpose for us. And Lord, as we go from here, we just pray for your peace and safety upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christmas.